Welcome to Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Eckelbarger. It's Wednesday, and that means two things. You have five more days until Christmas, and you get to enjoy The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope. We have quite a gap between last week's show and this week's. In fact, in the last three Pepsodent shows that we've aired on this podcast, we've gone from season one to season two and now to season three. Yes, last week's show is the only one we have from the second season of the Pepsodent Show. Today's show originally aired on January 28th, 1941. That is 3 months into season three. Also on this episode, we hear a new gag that had been introduced on some previous episode in 1940, and that we will hear more of in the future. The gag is, "Who's Yehudi?" Or, as we will hear, "Where's Yehudi?" It began with Jerry Colonna asking the question, "Who's Yehudi?" Now, this probably came from a reference to Yehudi Menuhin, a violinist and conductor of that time, who some have called the greatest violinist of the 20th century. Robert Colonna, that's Jerry's son, wrote a book about his dad entitled Greetings, Gate, the story of Professor Jerry Colonna. In it, he says the exact origin of the gag has never been nailed down, but he admits that it was originally tied to Menuhin. I have to admit, if you say, "Who's Yehudi?" four or five times, "Who's Yehudi? Who's Yehudi?" it does sound rather comical. Anyway, the whole gag took on a life of its own and eventually lost all connection to Menuhin and became actually a big band or swing catchphrase. A song was even written about it, and big band leader Cab Calloway and another big band leader, Kay Kaiser, and others have covered the song. Anyway, without further ado, let's listen to the 97th episode of The Pepsodent Show.
The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope.
When you're feeling lonesome, strictly on your lonesome, where there's life, remember there is still Bob Hope.
Thank you so much. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob, middle of the winter Hope, telling you if you've got preserves in the cellar, use Pepsodent and you'll preserve what's under your smeller. Or, this is the Pepsodent kid, Bob Hope, telling you to always use our product because it's better to have a sweet toot than to have them all go toot sweet. I'm a little tired tonight. I went down to get my license plates yesterday. I just got back. I must have been standing in the wrong line. When I got to the window, they handed me a uniform and a gun. You know what a license plate is? That's the last thing that whizzes over your head when you try to get across Hollywood Boulevard. I wouldn't say the line waiting for license plates was long. All I know is, when I finally got to the end of the line, I had to buy Colorado plates. One guy there always got his license plates in 15 minutes, but his gun jammed. No prompting from the audience now. No, at least I had a good idea. Did that line move slowly? I didn't realize how slow it was moving until I went up to one old guy in line and said, "Have you been waiting long?" He said, "Long? Look, I can tuck my beard inside my diaper." I stood in line 3 days getting my license plates, and it wasn't worth all the trouble, I thought, as I shoved them under the door of the finance company. Yes, sir. You know, California automobile rules are very silly. The drivers have to put a license plate on the front of their cars and a license plate on the back, then they run over you sideways. And this year, California has something new in license plates. Besides the numbers on them, they're adding kings, queens, and jacks, so pedestrians can play solitaire while waiting for the ambulance. And And, of course, the Chamber of Commerce insists that every license plate has a feather on it. That's so when you hit a pedestrian, he dies with a tickled expression. And, oh, I must tell you, Bing Crosby, the mutter, is putting license plates on his horses. That way, when he enters a horse in a race, he'll know what year he sent him out. But isn't it wonderful to have every car numbered and cataloged? Now, if you get hit on the street, you just take down the license number, give it to a cop, he gives it to the sergeant, he gives it to the Motor Vehicle Bureau, they send it to the state capitol, they look all through their records, and 2 months later, they send you back the information that you were run over by your own wife. But you really have to be in condition to cross Hollywood Boulevard. No kidding. I'm a little flabby lately. I crossed the street this morning, and when I looked back, the rest of me was waiting for the light to change. But I always go for long walks along Hollywood Boulevard. Yesterday, I hiked 26 blocks, but she wouldn't look back once. And there's... You don't get that at first, but after a while, it grows on you. Then you hate yourself for it. But, you know... And there's nothing like taking a long hike up into the mountains around here. If you go up high enough, you can see all the snow that's sitting there, waiting until it can melt so it can visit your house and take your whole family out to the beach. Hello, Hope Lost and Found Service. If we find it, brother, you've lost it.
Hello, Mr. Hope. Have you found a beautiful set of girls' teeth all gleaming and white and sparkling?
Uppers or lowers, Goodman, or can we sell you a compartment? Look, I'll let Art Baker handle that. He's in charge of our finding bright teeth department. Hey, Baker, teeth, kid, teeth.
Old teeth, okay, Bob. Thousands of pretty girls are prettier because they've found Pepsodent tooth powder. And thousands of smiles are brighter because they use it. Now, if you've lost a pretty smile, then here's an easy way to find it again. Just use new high-polished Pepsodent tooth powder. For not only does it contain Irium, Pepsodent's patented super cleanser, but now Pepsodent tooth powder contains a new polishing agent called composite metaphosphate, also patented by Pepsodent and available only in Pepsodent. You see, it's not enough to just wash your teeth. You can get a lot of powders to do that. But if you want a bright, gleaming smile, you have to polish teeth, too. And that's no job for any halfway tooth powder. It takes one that's made for the job. It takes Pepsodent. For now, with its new polishing ingredient, Pepsodent has the power to produce a 32% greater luster on teeth than any other leading tooth powder, actually twice as bright as the average of all other brands. Just try Pepsodent tooth powder starting tonight, and in just a few days, you'll begin to see what we mean by more luster. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, to find that smile you thought was lost, just go to your druggist and say, Pepsodent tooth powder, please.
I do mean you. Can't find words to tell you how grand you are.
You're everything to me. You're my favorite star. You're a
four-bell feature, a gorgeous creature. You're the reason I fell. Babe, you're really swell, and I do mean you.
That was our sixth hit to the wrist singing Jimmy Fiddler's song, I Do Mean You. Jimmy, for Beller, yes, sir. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to present one of Hollywood's leading actors, soon to be seen in the Paramount picture, The Mad Doctor, and familiar to all of you on the air, is that super detective, Sherlock Holmes, Mr. Basil Rathbone.
Thank you, Bob.
Well, I'm really glad to welcome you here tonight, Basil. I've certainly enjoyed you as Sherlock Holmes. The part fits you to a T.
Well, thank you again, Bob.
You know, I wish I could find my niche in the radio world.
What was that?
Niche.
Well, scratch it, old boy.
But tell me, Basil, how does my program compare with yours?
No, it's very different. For instance, we don't have a studio audience at all.
Well, then you mean you go through an entire program without any laughs?
Yes, but you see, we have an excuse.
I've got one, too. I forgot to run through the audience with my feather tonight. But I will say, though, Sherlock Holmes' mysteries are really exciting, and I love that Dr. Watson.
Yes, he's wonderful. Nigel Bruce plays the part, you know.
Oh, he does a grand job. He makes an ideal partner for you.
Indeed he does. I realize it more than ever tonight.
Practically, I'm alone. Look, I appreciate you dropping in tonight, Basil. After all, we both work at Paramount. In fact, I have the dressing room right next to yours.
Oh, are you the one that has the dressing room right next to mine?
Yes, why?
Must you cook?
Well, I've got to do something with these eggs, but I couldn't resist it. I had to do it. But I like my new dressing room. You know, the last star who had it was a very distinguished actor.
Yes, too bad Rin Tin Tin died. You're still getting his MASH notes, aren't you?
That's a lot. Pauline, you ruined my straight line. I am not getting Rin Tin Tin's MASH notes. It's a lie.
Is that so? What about that note you got yesterday? Honey, meet me at the corner of Hollywood and Vine in half an hour. If that's okay, wag your tail out of the window.
Well, you know, one gets all kinds of fan mail. It's tough being a celebrity, isn't it, Basil?
It certainly is, Bob. You're not missing a thing.
Wait. You're razzmatazz tonight, Baz. Wait a minute. I'm well thought of at Paramount. You know that.
Yes, everybody on the lot has a good word for you.
They certainly do.
Yes, it's a good word. Too bad we can't use it on the air.
I don't know how you got all the laughs. That's a... I ought to have my mother look over the script. You know, Basil, our listeners would be interested in knowing how you ever learned to turn on such a wonderful, horrible sneer.
Oh, that's quite simple, Bob. I used to be a waiter in the Brown Derby.
Well, I thought maybe you'd been listening to this program.
No, that's where I get my snarl. I used it quite a bit in a picture I just finished at Paramount called The Mad Doctor. I go around killing all my patients.
Really? Say, well, how about giving the folks a pre... Let's get together now. Come now. How about giving the folks a preview of The Mad Doctor tonight, Basil? Suppose I were going around selling magazines and I dropped into your office. What would happen to me?
Well, let's try it and see.
All right. Oh, boy, what a job. Selling magazines from door to door. I've been walking all day. Boy, have I got blisters. Doggone, got a flat in my left toe. Gee, this is a big office building. I wonder if I should try this office. That's a lovely sign he's got on the door. Dr. Fennessy. That sounds menacy. Anybody in?
Yes, I'm the doctor. Speak up, young man. What's wrong with you?
Oh, nothing. I'm selling magazines. I'm working my way through.
Through what?
They're going to tell me after I sell the magazine.
Well, don't stand there staring at me.
Huh?
Why do you stare at me? Huh? Everybody stares at me. Why do they stare at me?
Well, maybe it's because you've got two heads.
Oh! So that's why I always have the feeling that somebody's looking over my shoulder. Excuse me a minute, old man. I have a patient in the next room with a slight headache. Couldn't let him suffer, you know. I say, young man, would you like to see my latest experiment?
Is that part of the 40-cent tour?
Yes, you see, my latest experience is very unique. Nobody ever thought of it before. I'm crossing a mouse with a mouse.
You crossed a mouse with a mouse? What did it get you?
Mouses.
Say, you know what? I think there's something wrong with you.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I was thwarted as a boy. I wanted to go to the circus. They wouldn't let me. I wanted to play baseball with the other kids. They wouldn't let me.
Why wouldn't they let you?
I had a contract with Hobby Lobby. Do you think my actions are a little strange?
Why, no, but if you must foam at the mouth, foam Pepsodent.
My friend, I could do a lot for you. I have one experiment I could perform, and it would make you a man with long, beautiful, golden curls.
Oh, I'd like that.
You'd like to have long, golden curls? Why?
I want to be the talk of the draft camp. Ah, they read.
Come over here and sit next to this machine.
Please, please. All I want you to do is buy my magazine. Buy my magazine.
I see you're starting to get hot under the collar. Collar! I'm not only nuts, I'm corny.
Well, look, Doctor, what are you going to do to me?
Now for my greatest experiment. When I turn this switch, you'll never think of anything but beautiful girls. All your life, you'll just think of Hedy Lamarr and Madeline Carroll.
Oh, gee, that's wonderful. Turn the switch, quick.
All right, here goes. Well?
Doc, something went wrong. It's terrible. All I can think of is Brenda and Cabina. I keep seeing their faces.
You say all you can think of is Brenda and Cabina?
Yes.
Couldn't let him suffer, you know.
That Sherlock Holmes show you have every Sunday night for Goldwell's quinine cold tablets is sure swell. Stick around, Basil. Take it, Skinny, my man.
Ida, sweet as apple cider, sweeter than all I know. Come out in the silvery moonlight, of love we whisper so soft and low. Seems though I can't live without you. Listen, oh honeydew, Ida, I idolize you. I love you, Ida, deed I do. Without you, listen, oh honeydew, Ida, Adelaide, I love you, Ida, deed I do.
That was Skinny Ennis singing Ida, ladies and gentlemen. Come in. Come in.
Dr. Hope?
No, you're a week late. I was Dr. Hope last week.
Oh,
this
yeah,
week there's
yeah.
No hope. Oh, I mean, what am I saying? No doctor. I mean, no. Say, what do you want anyway?
I ain't got no friends. I can't even influence people. I want to be a hermit.
Oh, just a minute, bud. Here's a chap who can tell you what to do, or back he goes to time signals. Art Baker, tell him what's the matter.
That's easy. Well, the chances are, ladies and gentlemen, that our friend overlooked the greatest friend winner and people influencer of them all, his smile. Yes, the one thing that most quickly draws people to you is your smile. And take it from me, a smile has to flash, it has to glitter, it has to have brilliance. And that's why it's so important to polish teeth as well as clean them. Tooth powders that just wash teeth do only half a job. And that's why it's so important to choose Pepsodent tooth powder. For Pepsodent contains a new high-polishing agent available in no other tooth powder called composite metaphosphate. Scientific tests show that it has the power to produce 32% more luster on teeth than any other leading tooth powder, actually twice as bright as the average of all other brands. Now think of this big 32% margin in terms of how much brighter your teeth can be, how much more charm your smile will have, and I'll bet you'll hurry to your druggist and say, Pepsodent tooth powder, please.
X marks the spot where my heart.
And now Bob Hope presents his version of X Marks the Spot. We take you now to the offices of the Daily Globe.
Stop the presses. Stop the presses.
What's wrong, Chief? We're just getting out the late edition.
Stop the presses. Throw out the front page. We just got the biggest story of the year. He's been found.
Who's been found?
Yehudi.
Yehudi? Who's Yehudi?
Who's Yehudi?
Yes, who's Yehudi?
Okay, start the presses again.
Well, Chief, where's Bob Hope now?
He and Battle Rathbone are deep in a dark swamp, paddling their canoe on the trail of Yehudi, the elusive Yehudi.
What a job. Paddling this big boat along is some job.
Oh, don't worry. We'll come to water pretty soon. here's some now. Let's put the canoe in it. There, that's better.
I suppose this is all strange to you, Bob.
Oh, no, Basil. I've rushed into swamps lots of times before.
Well, that's radio, Bob. Say, aren't your feet getting a little damp?
Yes, right up to my waist. Say, maybe we should have got a canoe with a bottom in it, huh? Gosh, look at all the mountains surrounding this swamp.
Hello, Pike Peak.
Hi, Sierra.
You know, Bob, the trouble with this canoe is that you've got it too crowded with your baggage.
I know, Basil, but you told me I should take along everything I really needed.
I know, but after all, Bob, a full-length mirror.
Say, you know, it's spooky here in this swamp. Careful how you steer, Basil. Be careful. You're going to hit that tree. Weeping willow.
Shh. I hear a coyote.
I hear a wolf.
Going my way, babe.
Look, Bob, let's get out of this canoe. There's the place my crew say Yehudi should be. That old hotel in the middle of the swamp.
What a hotel. Say, what are those black things flying around it? Look, here comes one now, flying right at us.
Hello, boys. Nice weather we're having day before yesterday, won't it be?
Nice weather we're having day before yesterday. Say, who are you?
Oh, we're just bats.
Come on, Bob. Here we are at the door of the hotel.
Basil, I don't like the looks of this place. Let's leave.
Oh, don't be silly, Bob. It's just an old hotel. There's probably nothing in it but spiders. One of the larger kids.
Look, someone's opening the door.
Nice weather we're having. Isn't it a beautiful, embalmy day?
Listen, miss, I'm Basil Rassel. My friend and I came down here to do some detective work.
Oh, then come in the parlor. Mr. Moto is there.
Well, well, I'd like to meet Mr. Moto.
Fine. I'll raise the lid.
Bob, I'm frightened. There are shivers running up my spine.
Up your spine? Don't you mean up? Up and down your spine?
No, they're too frightened to make the round trip.
Now, gentlemen, while you're at this hotel, remember, if you want anything, just ring for the skeleton.
You mean that skeleton over there, it still works here? How is that possible?
Strong union.
Basil, I'm a little afraid of this place. I'm glad I sent my special investigator, Pinkerton Colonna, on ahead to look for Yehudi here. If he followed the same trail we did, he must be in this hotel now. He should be reporting to me any minute.
You peeked. Say, Hope, I just found a wonderful clue. In this room here, I found the bathing suit Yehudi wears when he goes swimming in the lake at Hollywood and Vine.
Colonna, there's no lake at the corner of Hollywood and Vine.
You native son, you.
Mr. Hope, while you're talking with Detective Colonna, ask him to solve another mystery. There are 386 girls stopping at this hotel in 386 different rooms. And I just received complaints that that in the last 5 minutes, each and every one of them was kissed by a mysterious masher.
Colonna, did you hear what the lady said?
Ah, yes. I've been a busy little bee, haven't I?
Who's that?
He's a bad bat. I caught him whitewashing himself this morning so he could go to Capistrano.
Well, come on, Bob. Now's our chance to investigate your kill by ourselves.
Okay, we've got to find Yehudi. Let's look in this room here. You know, this is a hotel. Gee, Basil, I wonder what my right-hand man, Colonna, is doing now.
Hey, Chief, this is your right-hand man, Colonna, reporting. I think I've discovered Yehudi. He's here in a cage disguised as a lion, but he can't fool me. I'll reach in and pull off his disguise. Hey, Chief, this is your left-hand man, Colonna, reporting.
Professor, there's a lion in that room?
Yes, and there are also some turtles here I've been talking to. As I was saying, fellas, you don't pull your heads in fast enough. Now get ready to pull your necks in. One, two, three, go! See? I beat you again!
Colonna, you're talking to turtles?
Yes, and they're very nice fellows, too.
We're very nice fellows, too.
Mock turtles.
Say, Colonna, have you found any trace of Yehudi? After all, I'm anxious.
You're anxious?
Yes.
Well, glad to know you're anxious. You know, Beatrice Fairfax and I have had many a good laugh from your letters.
Come on, Basil, he'll never help us. Let's see what's in this room over here.
Get your hands off of me, you dirty rat. Let me alone, I tell you. I'm going crazy. Why did you ever come into my life? Let me alone. All I want to do is die.
Oh, lady, is there anything we can do for you?
Yeah, give me one of those parts Betty Davis has been getting.
Say, Chief, what's the penalty in the state for resisting an officer?
The penalty? A year in jail.
See, honey, you wouldn't want to waste a year, would you?
Professor, never mind that girl. What about Yehudi?
Oh, he doesn't care for me. Well, don't worry, Chief. I'm turning Yehudi. He's walking across the ceiling, and I'm following him.
Colonna, do you mean to tell me you're walking on the ceiling with your head hanging down?
Sure. Listen. Blood rushing to my head.
Colonna, for your information, what you're doing is impossible. It's against the law of gravity for you to walk around the ceiling upside down.
You had to open your big mouth.
Come on, Bob. Let's look in this next room.
Oh, that woman. She's been feeding me ground glass. Ground glass. I've been eating all that ground glass. It's awful, and now I got the hiccups.
Oh, that's too bad. What have your hiccups got to do with it?
What have my hiccups got to do with it? See what I mean?
A very good idea, giving people ground glass. I'd like to give you some, Hope. What kind of glass do you like? Percolator grind, silex grind, or French drip?
Basil, stop coming after me. You're not the mad doctor anymore. Help, I gotta get out of here. Colonna!
You call Kyle? What's wrong?
Basil is after me. He thinks he's the mad doctor again. Leave me out of here, quick.
All right, follow me through this secret panel.
Colonna, there's no secret panel there.
I know, I just found out. I'm on the wrong page.
So you're trying to help him escape, eh? I've got my trusty shotgun, though. Put up your hand.
Professor, he's got a shotgun. Watch out. He's heading straight for you. He'll kill you.
Oh, no, he won't. I'll hypnotize him. I've stared at him with both eyes. I've stared at him with one eye.
You're next, Pope.
Oh, look, Basil, wake up. You're not the mad doctor. You're a guest on my program.
What do you think made me mad?
Again we go, and if you like the show, please dial Tuesday again. And though there's no admission to the show, a smile helps to get in. Thanks, Basil Rathbone, our guest, though we take a rest in Yehudi's quest. You were grand. Use Pepsodent, folks, 'cause next week, folks, we'll be back with the same gang and that grand little songstress, Judy Starr.
And ladies and gentlemen, as a special added attraction, none other than Bob Hope.
Thank you, Bill Goodman. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night, everyone. This is Bill Goodwin speaking for Pepsi.
I think it's interesting that in almost 80 years, nothing's changed at the Department of Motor Vehicles. You know, maybe somebody who got in line there in 1941 with Bob Hope are still there today. I don't know. Now, let's talk about the guest today, Basil Rathbone. Here is where we mix my love for old-time radio comedy with old-time radio mysteries. Now, Basil Rathbone led an incredibly interesting life. He was born in South Africa to British parents in 1892. His family moved back to England in 1895. He started acting in Shakespeare's plays in 1911. He took a break from acting while he served as a captain for the British Army in World War I, and then he went back to the stage after the war. His first film was a silent movie in 1921. But his film career really became a major part of his life in 1935 and after, when he became very famous for playing the villain in films like David Copperfield, Captain Blood, A Tale of Two Cities, and Robin Hood. Now, in 1939, he began the role for which he is best known, Sherlock Holmes. He starred in 12 films as Sherlock Holmes between 1939 and 1946. And during that time, he also starred on a weekly radio program as Sherlock Holmes. If you would like to hear Rathbone as Holmes, and I greatly encourage you to do that because he's magnificent, just visit greatdetectives.net. Now, I've given a plug before to one of my favorite podcasts. It's produced and stars Adam Graham, and it is an excellent podcast called Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. And one of the shows that he has out there are all of the existing Sherlock Holmes radio shows starring Basil Rathbone. That's it for today. Please join us next week for another show with Bob Hope. And come back on Friday for another episode of The Life of Riley. Please send your questions and comments to host at classiccomedyotr.com. And don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/classiccomedyotr. And you can always check us out at our website, classiccomedyotr.com. So, until Friday, in the spirit of the Christmas season, remember the words of Bob Hope, who said, "When we recall Christmas past, we usually find that the simplest things, not the great occasions, give off the greatest glow of happiness."